Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, Christmas time, with everything else that surrounded it, presents was the big highlight of Christmas time. Are you with me on that? Like gifts is the highlight. And even as you get older, gifts continues to kind of be a bit of a highlight. Now it may shift a bit. It turns into like, oh, I've got to find a gift for these people. Or there's something new that has popped up in my life I've found. And that is that sometimes as I've gotten older, I now go out and buy my own Christmas presents. In fact, I did that this year. I know what my wife is getting me for Christmas because I'm the one that bought it and told her, here you go. You got this for me for Christmas. And it's just this wonderful thing. But at the same time, it's not quite the same as when I was younger. Christmas when you're older and you're getting these gifts and things, it's not quite the same. Because when you're younger, there's this whole thing of when I get this present and I rip into it, the likelihood is quite high that it's something that I could never dream of buying myself. Right? Like it can be a $40 thing and you're like, whoa, this is so expensive. I would never be able to get this if it weren't for Christmas time. You know what I'm talking about? And so there's just this excitement. What am I going to get for Christmas? And when you buy your own present, like it's not quite the same thing. Or even at Christmas time, like, people love it when they ask me what I want for my birthday or for Christmas because I give them like this list of things that nobody can reasonably afford. Because there's a problem. See, I buy the things that I want that I can afford. And so I come to Christmas, I come to birthday, and I've actually now a couple months before will often go, okay, these are some of the things I can afford, but I'm not going to buy them so that there's something for people to get me for Christmas. Am I the only one that does this? I feel really awkward if I am, but and so we do this. But when I buy myself a present, it's interesting because, we call it a present. We say, look, I bought myself a Christmas gift, but in reality, it's not actually a gift, is it? Because a gift, if you paid for it yourself and picked it out yourself, it's not really much of a gift. In fact, what it more is just a treat that you've used Christmas or your birthday as an excuse to get yourself. And so guys, if you're like, hey, I got a new fishing boat as a Christmas present, no, you didn't. You used Christmas as an excuse to buy a new fishing boat and just hoped that saying it's your Christmas present keeps you from getting in trouble. Okay? But, at the end of the day, the bank still requires their payments. So just remember that when you get into that. Now, I think it's fairly safe to say most of us here have had Christmas gifts that we've really liked. Right? Most of us have. If you've really liked a Christmas gift, I want you to think right now of that Christmas present. Like that one Christmas present where you opened it up and you were like, oh, I love this thing. This is so amazing. I could have never picked something like this out myself. Actually, usually those are the ones that I did pick out, but that's another matter completely. And you're just so excited because someone got you this perfect gift. Have you thought of the gift yet? All right. Now, when you unwrapped it, did you immediately hand it back to the person and tell the giver, no thanks, I'll buy it for myself. I'd rather pay for it myself. You shouldn't give this to me. Here, you take that back, and I'm just going to go buy it. Okay? Or here's some cash, let me buy it from you. Is that what you did with this present that you were so excited to get? Hey, somebody's awake. All right, good. I don't think so. I think that if you truly were excited about this gift, that you thanked the person that gave it to you and you gladly accepted it. I mean, you were really excited about it. And yet the thing that fascinates me is that we all, and I include myself in this, we all do this with the absolute best gift that we've been given. We hand it back sometimes and we say, I'd rather pay for it myself. I'd rather find a different way of getting this gift. See, at Christmas time, our Christmas presents that we give are actually meant to serve as a reminder of the gift that God gave us in Jesus. And when Jesus came to earth, when he was born and he died and he rose again and he purchased for us salvation, the best Christmas present ever given, so many of us receive Jesus' gift of life now and eternally. And we say, yeah, that's great, but I'd rather find my own way to get that gift. You know, that's great, but it doesn't really mean that much, Jesus, unless I earn it myself. Or we say, Jesus, it's a little bit mean that you're saying that it's only if you give the present that people get the gift. And so I can't believe that because there's people over there that are trying to find it a different way. And it just needs to be open to all of them. I want to make my own rules on how I get the gift, on how people get the gift. And so we take the present, the best present, life itself, and we hand it back to God saying, you know what, God, you giving it to me, that's not good enough. So my question is, have you done this? Can you recall a time in your life where you've done this, where maybe you started trying to earn your way, earn favor with God? Maybe you started to think, you know, God would love me more, or God would love me, period, if I did this. I get into this trap sometimes. You know, I look at the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm like, wow, like if I could just work on having the fruit of the Spirit, then God would be so much more present in my life. And I forget that the fruit of the Spirit is fruit from the Spirit. Get it backwards sometimes. The things that we do are meant to be birthed out of what Jesus has done for us, the grace he's given us, and yet we invert it and we say, you know what? I need to do all these things so that I can have God's grace. We get it backwards. We hand the gift back and we say, God, I'd rather work on it myself. Will you join me in praying this morning? Heavenly Father, I just thank you today for the Christmas season, for all the fun, the joy, the celebration, time with family that so many of us get to have in this time. And Lord, right now, amidst all the distractions, amidst all the chaos of the season, will you give us just the next 20 minutes of clarity, Lord? Will you just help us to hear from you this morning? God, I ask today that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bible with you here today and want to join me in reading John chapter 1, we'll be starting in verse 15 today, so you can go ahead and turn there right now. If you have a mobile device that you'd like to follow along on and take notes, you can go to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile to do that. Or if you're someone that's just like, I'd rather just take it all in and enjoy myself this morning, it's also going to be on the screen behind me because we love you that much. So, with that said, let's go ahead and jump into this. John chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. John the Baptist testified concerning Jesus. He cried out saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." The last 3 weeks here, we have been in a series called The Light Has Come, and we've been looking at this first section in John. It's called the prologue of the Gospel of John, this letter that John wrote to tell people about his experience of knowing Jesus and how they can come to know him. And what we've discovered is that the light, who is Jesus, has come to offering hope and life in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of our lifelessness, in the midst of our hopelessness. We found that Jesus came to show us God in a way that we had never been able to know God before. Remember, no one has ever seen God, but the only Son of God, who is God, has made him known. We talked about the incarnation last week and the way that God became human flesh for us so that we could meet him and so that he could save us. And we also talked about the way that Jesus traded his perfection, his identity as Son of God, for our identity as law-breaking criminal against the King of Kings. And how it's not just a forgiveness act, but it's actually a, here's my identity, I've taken yours. It's a trade. And so we've talked about these things, and what I want to point out to you all is that all of this is a gift from God. Hey, Jesus didn't show up on earth and say, hey, everybody, I've got light, $10, please. Right? He didn't say, hey, you know, you want to come see God? Well, hang on a second. Here's the list of things I want you to do before you do that. He didn't come to earth and say, yeah, you can have my identity, but only if you complete this challenge. It's not what Jesus did. He freely gave. He gave us a gift of life as he came to earth and was born, lived as one of us. A sinless life, and went to the cross for us and bore on himself our sin and our shame, and then died and rose again, victorious over sin, death, and Satan, so that we can know that Jesus is the one that we can trust. This is a gift from God. Some of us at times may be tempted to look at this gift and think, yeah, but Jesus doesn't know my sin. Jesus doesn't know the things that I struggle with. Or we say, you know, I time and time again, I just mess up over and over again. And Jesus couldn't possibly continue to give me this gift if this is the way that I'm going to be. And see, we miss the point again because we limit God when we do this. I want to point you to a word, one single word here that is so essential for us to understand. And that is fullness. Fullness. We're told out of his fullness, we have all received grace. A lot of us, we think of fullness like it's some kind of cup, right? And Jesus has all this fullness in him. And yeah, sure, okay, so 2,000 years ago when the cup was full, he could really afford to dish out a lot of stuff to cover over people's sins. But now, you know, maybe we're down at the dregs. It's 2,000 years later. He can't possibly have enough for me. You don't know the things that I've done. Or maybe it was enough for me here, but then I went and I did this thing and that thing, and eventually I think it just ran out. You know, he doesn't have enough to keep on giving me this grace, and so I need to be really good because grace is out now. But that's not what this word fullness means. This word fullness actually gives us a picture of this never-ending divine supply that it's a pouring out over, like overflowing with. And so when we approach God and we say, that's great, Jesus, that you've given this grace, but it's not enough for me. You don't know me. You don't know the struggles that I have. What does that say about what you believe about God? Because Jesus has a fullness of grace. Jesus is God. And if God is limitless and fully powerful and all-knowing, then for us to say, you don't have enough grace, God, for me, is to shrink our God down. And not only say, I don't want your gift or I can't receive your gift, but it's actually to say your gift isn't good enough for me. It's not big enough for me. But here's the truth of the gospel. Your sin is no match for God's love and grace. Your sin is no match for God's love and grace. It can't win. Jesus defeated it already. And he just calls you in to recognize, I've got this gift. Will you just take it? Will you allow me, my love, my grace, to overwhelm your sin, and I will give you new life? Your sin is no match for God's love and grace. We continue in this passage, we see, for the law was given through Moses. And this refers back to the Israelites' law. And Israel, with the law, you know, they were given these laws by God, and he's like, this is what you need to do to be righteous in my sight. If you ever want to realize that you cannot earn your way to heaven, start reading the Old Testament. Okay? And he's like, you know, this is what you need to do. And so the Israelite people, they were set apart by God. You know, these laws just making them totally different than everyone around them. So people would look at them and go, wow, there's something different about them. They're so holy. They're so righteous. And time and time again, as they worked so hard to have enough tassels on their coat and to do the right sacrifices and to not do the things at the wrong time that they weren't supposed to do and all of these things and just the weight, the burden that was on them, always striving to be righteous. You know what they learned through the law? That they could never live to perfection. In fact, over and over again, if you've ever read your Bible, you'll see that you kind of have the first little bit of the Bible that goes through and is like, hey, look, people of Israel, laws, all of that. And then the rest of the Bible is like, and they messed up, and they messed up, and they messed up, and they messed up, and they messed up. And I could just keep on going. Like, I could preach for my entire career as a pastor just on the ways that God's people messed up and couldn't hold the law. Time and time again. That's what they found, that they just over and over again broke God's heart as they rejected him. And actually got to the point where there were entire periods of history where they would just start to blend in other nations' worship into their own, or they'd think, you know what, Yahweh is not working, God's not working, let's go after Baal, let's go after Ashtoreth, you know, let's go after all these other gods, because maybe they're going to be a little easier and more fun to follow. You know, fertility gods, that sounds like fun. That was a little adult humor, I'm sorry. And then Jesus came. Remember, we said that Jesus was always part of the plan. We said that the first week of the series. Again, if I refer to anything from previously, you can go online and you can listen or watch these messages to catch up here. But through Jesus, God came to make a way. And he gives this to us as a gift, because he knew that we could never live up to who we were always meant to be because of the sinful nature that's inside of us, because of that day in the garden when the first man and first woman decided that the gift of communion with him in the garden wasn't enough, that they needed more, that they needed different. That moment that they lost trust that God had their best interest in heart and tried to go after it themselves. Remember, the serpent said, no, is that what God said? No, God just doesn't want you to know what he knows. And so they took the fruit because they wanted to know what it was that God knew that he didn't want them to know. And they fell. And so Jesus came to give us a gift of reconciliation, to put back what was broken. See, we owed a debt to the king of the universe because we'd committed treason against him. And as everybody knows, the punishment for treason in pretty much any country around the world throughout all of history is death. So imagine treason against the most high God of the universe. And yet God loved us so much that though we owed a debt, he chose to pay the debt himself. And in so doing, fulfilled justice. And built a way for us to have a relationship with him as we were always meant to have. Yet in the face of this gift, it seems that we are constantly determined to find our own way to buy it. In fact, Ligonier Ministries in 2014 did a study that was reported in an article, Americans Believe in Heaven, Hell, and a Little Bit of Heresy. I love that title. It just makes me smile inside. I don't know why, it's the literary part of me. But anyways, in this article, it says just under half of Americans, 45%, say there are many ways to heaven, which conflicts with traditional views about salvation being linked to faith in Jesus, otherwise known as what the Bible says. Catholics, 67%, and mainline Protestants, 55%, are most likely to say heaven's gates are wide open with many ways in. Evangelicals at 19% and black Protestants at 33% are more skeptical. About half of Americans, 53%, say salvation is in Christ alone. But listen to this. 4 in 10, or 41%, say people who have never heard of Jesus can still get into heaven. And this one blows my mind. And 3 in 10, or 30%, say people will have a chance to follow God after they die. And let me tell you, friends, it's really easy when we read American stats to go, oh, but they're so different than we are. It couldn't possibly be us. Canada's worse. Canada goes beyond this. Remember, the States is still sort of considers itself a Christian nation. Canada ceased doing so years ago. Okay, we're beyond this. Last week, we talked about how we can either wholly accept Jesus as he claims that he is and what he claims is true, or we can reject him outright. But we cannot make him something that he's not. We can't say that we don't accept his claims of his divinity and of being the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, and say that he's a good moral teacher. Talked last week how C.S. Lewis says, your choice is this. He was either a stark, raving, mad lunatic, or he's God. And if you don't like those choices, too bad, because that's your choices. So if you accept that Jesus is the way, and you begin to wonder to yourself, how is it that I received this gift that Jesus has bought me? The author of Hebrews has some words that I think are helpful for us in Hebrews chapter 3. He says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So how do you receive this gift that Jesus bought you? First is to fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on him. See, we need to recognize that this gift that he's given us makes Jesus everything. You now have his identity. You now have your identity laid on his shoulders at the cross. It's in Jesus that we find our grace. It's in Jesus that we find forgiveness. It's in him that we find hope and confidence. And so he's our everything. Fix your thoughts on him. Not on what can I do, but on Jesus. And secondly, hold firmly to the confidence and hope you have in him. In other words, have faith. See, especially over the next few days, many of us are going to be faced with heavy social expectations, expectations that we place on ourselves for what Christmas was supposed to be, or expectations of being better Christians, of being better witnesses, or of creating just that perfect, really meaningful experience for the people around us. And these are all good things. Don't get me wrong. I will never tell you, hey, don't live right for God. Don't go out and try to share the gospel with people. These are amazing things. We need to be doing them. But we can easily allow all these pressures to get to the point that we forget what Christmas and following Jesus is all about. See, it can be really easy to lose sight of the gift of the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus, that he is the way, that he's given us this gift of grace, and instead give up the gift of rest and begin to just try to find our way to be better and better and more holy on our own. But what if we began to give up on trying to be good enough to earn something from God? And instead allowed ourselves to receive the best gift of all, which is grace through faith in Jesus Christ. See, from our faith in him, we are saved, and by us fixing our thoughts on him, we will have the strength and desire to live in a way that truly honors him. Listen to the words that teacher in Hebrews continues. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. The people of Israel had been pulled out of Egypt. They'd seen God work amazing miracles, and then they get to the promised land where they're supposed to have rest, and they send spies out into the promised land, and they're told, we have no hope. And they lost their faith and they rejected God. And God said, this generation will not enter my rest. And the writer of Hebrews, he takes these words of God against the people of Israel. And as he speaks to Jewish believers who are considering going back to their old Jewish faith, because it's just easier in the culture that they're in, he shows them, you rejected him before. Are you really going to reject him again? Are you really going to miss out again on what he did for you? And he says this to you. Wherever you're at here today, whether you just struggle sometimes in your walk with God and you go, you know, I've got to be better, and you start making it all about you, or you're just really far away from him, don't put off accepting Jesus' gift. Recognize that those who have tried to do it all on their own, who are trying right now, that they will fail at it. But if you open your heart to Jesus, he's going to give you rest. You could put it this way. God's rest is only found when we receive grace as a gift through faith in Jesus. God's rest is only found when we receive grace as a gift through faith in Jesus as a gift. We don't earn it. We don't buy it because Jesus bought it and he offers it to us. And it's this rest and grace that Jesus came to give you. And it's this rest and grace that he wants to see the people of Pincher Creek receive. We need to live into the grace that he has given us and allow him to use us as we just marvel at his grace in our lives to show love to our community. And so right now, in the whole haze that can be Christmas, just take a breath. Just take a breath and slow down. Focus on Jesus. And he'll give you rest. God's rest is only found when we receive grace as a gift through faith in Jesus. Through faith in Jesus. Heavenly Father, today I just thank you that you gave your Son for us. As we celebrate at this Christmas time, Lord, just ask that we won't forget what it is that we're celebrating. And that as we come before you and as we open these gifts, that these gifts that we open in a couple of days, that they will be a reminder to us of the gift that you've given us, and that we'll stop trying to buy our own Christmas present from you, God, but recognize that you already bought it and that it's bigger than something that we could ever pay for on our own. Help us to enter into your rest and just give our burdens to you and allow you to change us from the inside out. We praise you today, Lord Jesus. Why don't you right now just begin to praise Jesus in your hearts? And I want to speak to anyone, while no one's looking around in this room or online right now, who wants to make a commitment to this Jesus. You heard about what Jesus has done and it's really impacted you in your life. And I just want to say that this is such a momentous occasion for you, and I'm so glad that you're coming to this place of beginning to push forward in faith in Jesus and know that he welcomes you with open arms no matter where you're at in life. He loves you, and he died with you on his mind, wanting you to come to know him. And right now, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me that just marks this occasion in your life. Because if you have faith in Jesus, congratulations, you are a follower of Jesus now. You have received grace. And yet, just as I put on a wedding ring and said vows to my wife when I was married to her, I believe that there are things that help us mark occasions so that we can be committed. And so I'm just going to guide you in a simple prayer of commitment and thanksgiving to God. And I encourage you to pray with me today. And if you pray this from your heart and you truly believe the words that we are praying, then know that you are, in fact, a believer in Jesus so long as you hold that faith. So pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequence of my sin. But I trust in Jesus, in his work on the cross, in his resurrection, that he provided for my forgiveness, And I commit today to follow him. Forgive me. Renew me. Change me. And fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time or gave your life back to the Lord, if you're in this building with us today, there's a blue card in the seat back in front of you. I'd encourage you to fill that out and just place it face down when you leave, and somebody will come and collect those after. If you're online, go to ascc.life, tap Get Connected, and let us know the decision that you made here today. The reason for doing this is not so that we can go and be like, yes, we have you on our mailing list now or anything like that. The reason for this is because the Christian walk is not something to be done in isolation. It's something that we do together as a community. It's something that you need someone. God designed the church. He designed believers to walk with one another and to teach one another what the next steps of faith are. And so this will help us to help you in this next step. If you need a Bible, if you need direction on anything, please let us know, and we'd be happy to get those into your hands.